everybody. We're moving on in our story. I know it's taking a bit of time, and it's going to take even more time because there's so much depth to this story. And as we've seen up until here, Moshe Rabbeinu was given the luchos by Hashem, the Jewish people. Moshe had gone on the mountain. He was given the luchos. The Jewish people thought he was delayed because he stipulated 40 days. They counted it wrong. The Satan shows Moshe suspended from below the heavens, and they think he's gone. They thought he's lost. They felt alone. They approach Aaron and Hur to make some kind of a guide for them, some kind of a leader, an egel. They formed the, as we mentioned, we went into details, they did something and the egel came out, this calf. They brought sacrifices, they celebrated very early in the morning. And now, at this point of our story, we're going to just mention a few small details that I missed out from before, but what we're going to concentrate on today is that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to descend the mountain. So the Jewish people have already made this egel, and they've already started to, they've sacrificed, and now they were celebrating and dancing. And now Hashem says to Moshe, go down from the mountain, your nation has sinned. And Moshe understands, and we'll see today how he understands, that he has to defend his people. He doesn't just understand, but he feels very strongly. You can feel the love of Moshe. He immediately defends the Jewish people to Hashem, and then he descends the mountain. So today we are going to really discuss at length a little bit about how Moshe approaches and what logic, so to speak, he uses to try and get Hashem to, I mean, it's a hard word to use because we're talking about Hashem, but to calm down. Hashem had said he wanted to destroy his nation. How will Moshe prevent the destruction of the Jewish people? And we will see that this is the first main time, but throughout the next 40 years in the desert, this was one of Moshe's big roles, as we mentioned in many of the shiurim. That's why he's called the faithful shepherd, the Raya Mehemna, that he defends the Jewish people from destruction, from being annihilated, from being destroyed, from the wrath, from the anger of Hashem. So this is what we're going to discuss in length today. So, but just before we go into some of the psukim that we've read, but we're going to discuss them really in depth today, just two small points. Very interesting thing, because we mentioned that when the Jewish people had this whole idea of making the egel, they first approached Hur, who was the nephew of Moshe and Aaron, Miriam's son, and he was there with Aaron leading the people, and then they approached Aaron. So the question is, why did they approach Hur first? Aaron is the more senior leader. And the, one of the answers, the Chasam Sofer gives a very beautiful answer. They said that the Jewish people actually had a very interesting thought. They said like this, Moshe, as the Satan had shown them, was suspended there from the heavens, which means they thought Moshe had passed away. If Moshe had passed away, that means Aaron is sitting Shiva. If Aaron is sitting Shiva, they said, we cannot ask Aaron to make a god for us. Why? Because, very interesting, Ein hashchina shoira ela mitoich simcha. Aaron is in a state of mourning. He's not in a state of joy. He will not be able to provide any kind of divine inspiration. So you can see there was a concept of a divine inspiration that they wanted here, albeit with a intermediary, which was the problem. But nevertheless, as we said, most of them had proper intention, but they felt Aaron is sitting Shiva. He's not in a state of joy. He's not going to be the conduit. He's not going to be able to bring any revelation of godliness. That's what the Chasam Sofer explains. The Alshich explains, actually in a sort of simpler way, an interesting logic, that we can see it from the wording of the psukim, that when the Jewish people approached Aaron, they said they want a god, like Elohim, asher yelchu lefaneinu, that will go before us. Why? Because zem Moshe ish, right? This man Moshe, he's gone. So what were they saying? They're saying, we don't want you to replace Moshe with another human being. Because remember, we had this big question, why didn't Aaron just choose another person to be a leader? But they said, no, we don't want another human being because we want somebody who's going to be eternally able to walk in front of us. In other words, something that doesn't die. That's why they wanted this calf, which was a miraculous creation, which is part alive, partially not alive, so to speak, that they felt would have a certain level of eternity. And that's why it wouldn't have been good enough for Aaron to say, oh, I'll be a substitute, so to speak. That wasn't what they wanted. You're here today, you're gone tomorrow. So that's part of that logic, that one of some of the questions that we had asked last night, that the Al-Sheikh explains. Just one small thing before we go into the Pesukim. We said, and we mentioned the Pasuk, and we're going to go much more in depth today, that when Moshe Rabbeinu pleads for the Jewish people, and this we'll see, we'll hopefully tie in at the end, it's all Hashgacha Pratis, this week is Shavuos, the receiving of the Torah. One of the big things that Moshe Rabbeinu uses as a defense for the Jewish people is an interesting one. It says, Vayichal Moshe, so Moshe Rabbeinu begged, beseeched, insisted, whatever it is, es pnei Hashem Eleikov. Like, so to speak, he was beseeching his God. What does that mean, his God? He highlighted that Hashem at the Aseres HaDibrois had said, Anoichi Hashem Eloikecha. I am Hashem, your God, in the singular. What's the highlight of that? So Moshe says to Hashem, when you said that I am Hashem, your God, which meant that you shouldn't make other forms, well, that was only speaking to me personally. That was in the singular. The Jewish people could have thought that they are, yes, permitted to have other kinds of intermediaries. This was one of the big defenses that Moshe used. He said, you said it in the singular. They didn't know it applies to them. And that's why Moshe highlights over here, you are my God. In other words, exclusive, so to speak, to me, is that command of the exclusivity of one God. Obviously, that's not what Hashem meant, and we know when Hashem said, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, he meant that I am each and every single Jew's individually God, so to speak, and I take care of each Jew individually. But nevertheless, Hashem actually used that language, it's interesting, to give Moshe this ability to use it as an excuse. It's quite interesting. Hashem sometimes does that where he puts a loophole in, just so that to provide that safety net for the Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, in his wisdom, caught on. So what I'd like to do now, I know we've read, but we read it very, very quickly last week. I'd like to just read the Psukim and some of the Rashis. And today we're going to analyze, as I say, some of the pleading that Moshe Rabbeinu did, some of the way how he pleaded on behalf of the Jewish people. So here we have, the Jewish people had sacrificed, and they're celebrating, and they're partying. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, so Hashem speaks to Moshe, lech reit, specifically, go, descend. We're going to analyze all these words. Ki shiches amcha, Hashem says, because your people have acted corruptly. Which people? Asher ha'elisa me'eretz Mitzrayim, the people that you have brought up from Egypt. Now, we mentioned, so first of all, the word vayidaber is interesting. It says vayidaber Hashem, and it doesn't say vayoymer Hashem. And we know that the word dibor is lashon kaishihu. It is harsh, because already it's an amazing change of tone. Up until now, Hashem had been teaching and inspiring Moshe, lifting him with the most incredible revelations and the deepest secrets of the Torah. Here, you realize Moshe was sheltered. He was up on the mountain. He had no idea what was going on down there until this point. All of a sudden, everything changes. Just all of a sudden. We'll have to understand what happened all of a sudden, because they had already been sinning for a little bit, for a few hours. But all of a sudden, everything takes on a whole drastic change. And what is the change? The change is that Hashem now all of a sudden becomes very harsh. And he gives Moshe a tremendously harsh command in a way of like almost, I can't be with you anymore. Like, go, leave, go down. And why? And as he says, lech reid. So we imagine go down because you're on top of the mountain. So physically you have to go down. But Rashi says it means much more. Migdulascha, from your greatness. Loinasati lecha gedula ella b'shvilam. I only gave you, Moshe, greatness because of the Jewish people. But oisa shah, nisnada Moshe mipi beisdin shalmaila. At that point, Moshe was banished, like the word nidoy, almost like a chayrim, but it's a very harsh concept, that he was banished from the heavenly tribunal. So this is a very, all of a sudden, it's like you would say, the weather changes. It was literally from the most sunny, bright, magnificently warm, beautiful day. Now it is windy and cloudy, harsh and stormy, and Moshe is being banished from Hashem. And what's the reason? So Hashem says, Shifei Zamcha, your nation has acted corruptly. We've already mentioned this. What does it mean? Amcha. Amcha is your nation, Hashem is saying, the Erev Rav, those people who you accepted. You didn't even ask me, and you accepted them. So now, what does Hashem say to Moshe? He explains what the Jewish people have done in Pasuk Ches. Soru maher min haderech. Sorry, for anybody who is listening, it's in Perek Lamed Beis, if you don't see the screen, chapter 32, and we are reading Pasuk Ches, verse 8. Soru maher min haderech. And he said, they have quickly turned away from the way, talking about the Jewish people, asher tzivisam, that I have commanded them. As we said, quickly meant quickly in the sense that it's only 40 days ago that they saw such a tremendous revelation, or quickly meaning that they were so quick to jump into the conclusion that Moshe is not coming, even though he's only a few hours late. And what did they do? They were quickly turned away from the way that I commanded them. Asu lahem egel masecha, right? They made themselves a molten calf. Yishtachavu lahem. And Hashem is very specific because Moshe, as we said, doesn't know what happened. So he says, first of all, they made this calf. Not only did they make it, but v'yishtachavu lahem, they bowed down to it. V'yizbechu lahem, and they brought sacrifices to it. And even more than that, v'yaymeru, they used their mouths and they stated, Eile Elekecha Yisrael. These, so to speak, are your gods, O Israel, Asher Ha'elucha, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, who have taken you out from the land of Egypt. Vayomer Hashem El Moshe. So we're going to go into that and we're going to come back, but just too quickly. Vayomer Hashem El Moshe. And Hashem says to Moshe, Ra'isi Es Ha'am Hazeh. I have seen this people, because now Moshe knows what they did. And now we see, Moshe is seeing, how is Hashem reacting? So he already gets wind of the fact that Hashem's not impressed because of the way Hashem is, so to speak, acting in such a harsh way to Moshe, right? But now Hashem is even more specific. Moshe could think he's angry at me, but now Hashem says, no, you're only a small part of it. I'm not really angry at you at all. Who am I really angry at, and who is going to really bear the brunt, so to speak, of what's happening? It's the Jewish people. And he describes them. V'hine am she'oyrefu. They are a stiff-necked people. We'll see what that means. Rashi just says, mechazrin she'arpam l'neged meichicheihem. They, so to speak, turn the back of their neck to those who tell them off. U'mimanim l'shmaya, and they refuse to listen. Very graphic. You can see how Hashem is describing the Jewish people as a stubborn nation who, so to speak, turn their back to me and don't turn their face, so they're not listening to what I have to say. So now Hashem says very specifically, leave me, like go, leave me alone. And my anger will be kindled against them. And I will consume them. I will annihilate them. And I will make you into a great nation. So here Moshe hears exactly what Hashem has in mind. So he says, Hanichali, what does Hanichali? Rashi tells us, Adayan lo shamanu shehispalal Moshe aleihem. It's almost as if Hashem is saying, Hashem already told Moshe to go down. Here he's saying, leave me alone. It's almost like you say that to somebody who's nudging you. But Moshe wasn't nudging yet. We didn't see Moshe say anything yet. So what's Hashem saying? Leave me. So Rashi says this was actually an important part of the whole message that Hashem is giving Moshe. What we see here, that there are so many layers to the message. There are the words that Hashem uses, and then there's the intention behind the words. And this gives us a little bit of a clue into the intention. He says, Adayin lo shamanu shehispalal Moshe aleihem. We didn't hear yet that Moshe davened. So what's he saying? Stop, like go. V'aymer hanichali, and Hashem is saying, leave me. Ela kan pasach lei pesach. But here Hashem was like opening up for Moshe, an opening. V'haydia, and letting him know, shehadavar taloi boy. This whole matter is dependent on you. She'im yispalal aleihem, if you daven for them, I will not destroy them. This is a very important part of the whole process, because and just again to put for ourselves to understand, this is not, see, Aaron was part of the process where the Jewish people were making the Egel. Even though it was only a few hours, it was still step by step. Moshe had no idea. So he's going from one extreme of, as we said, incredible revelation, to this incredible other extreme of hearing what the Jewish people have done. And he's in this state of shock. That you could imagine what kind of a state of shock. Hashem is almost shaking him out of the shock and telling him, Moshe, you have no, so to speak, opportunity. There's no time for you to feel sorry for yourself at all. Here you've got to do something immediately. You must act immediately, and it's all dependent on you. So what does Moshe do? First of all, Vayichal Moshe. So in English they translate here as Moshe pleaded. But many of the Mefarshim say that the word Vayichal is like Chayle, like in the Megillah, you know, we have with Esther, Vatzeschalchal, you know, that he became faint. After hearing, obviously, that he was in shock. So he was sickened, literally sickened, not sickened in disgust, but more sickened in fear almost of what's going to be with the Jewish people. And obviously overwhelmed with the tremendous responsibility. Here is where he is really being tested as a leader, as a real faithful shepherd, as we say. And what does he do? He pleads as Pnei Hashem, Eleikav, his God, Vayomer, and he says, Loma Hashem Yechere Abcha Ba'amecha. Interesting. Just think about this thing that Moshe is saying. Okay, we'll see. Arachaim has a very good question. Moshe says, why are you angry at your nation? Hashem just told him why he's angry. What's this question? Why are you angry? In a way, it's a funny thing. Imagine if somebody tells you that your child has done a terrible thing or your student has done a terrible thing. What will you say to them? Why are you angry? He just told you why he's angry. Perhaps you might find some kind of excuse for them, but you wouldn't start, why are you angry? Moshe says, why are you angry? Asher etzeisa on your nation, asher etzeisa meretz Mitzrayim, whom you have taken out of Egypt, b'koyach gadol, with a strong hand, with a lot of strength, u'b'yad chazaka, with a strong hand. And look what he says, Rashi says an interesting thing. What's Moshe's question? Lama Hashem yechere apcha, that's what he starts with. Klum miskane ella chacham bechacham, gibar begibar. It's almost like a tease, you know, like somebody would say to you, when you display anger and somebody says, oh, what are you getting angry about? That's the worst thing you could do, really. Why are you even upset? Who's that person anyway? You know, that kind of a thing. It's almost, he's saying, is anyone jealous of another except a wise man of a wise man? Like I'm saying, Hashem, oh, what are you getting upset at them? They're just people, you're God, you know. It's interesting. It's an interesting thing. But we have to understand what Moshe is saying. And then he goes on. I just want to read another two or three. Psukim lama yayru mitzrayim. And then what else does he continue with? He says, why should the Egyptians say, bira haitziyam, that he took them out with evil intent? Lahare gaysam, to kill them, baharim, in the mountains, ulachalaysam, and to annihilate them, me'al. Ooh, I don't have the rest of the pasuk here. Sorry, we're going to go to the next one. Sorry. And we're going to... Okay, sorry. Just have to scroll down for a minute. Maybe I'll try to do it this way quicker. No, okay. Okay, it doesn't matter. I'll just scroll the way I know how. Okay, so just one second. We're going to get... just, and we're going to come back up. But just want to... Alpneha Adama, right, that he wants to annihilate them from the face of the earth. And then beautiful words here. These words make sense. Like this we understand, and we do say this in davening. Shuv mecharoi napecha. Here Moshe Rabbeinu is sort of pleading with Hashem, he says. So return, so to speak. Go away from the anger. V'hinochem al hara la'amecha. And reconsider the evil that you have intended for your nation, for the Jewish people. So he's asking Hashem to please, like if you want to say, he says, retreat from the heat of your anger and reconsider the evil that you have intended for your people. Look what he says, V'hinochem, his asa machshava acheres. He's asking Hashem, like, formulate another thought, lehetiv lahem, to do good to them. Very interesting. So don't let yourself be filled with that anger, which obviously is going to lead to what you are saying, annihilation. Rather, perhaps You can fill yourself with some thoughts of love, some other thoughts, and that will obviously lead to a different outcome. As he says, Al hara asher chashavta lahem, that you are intending to do to them. Just two more psukim. Let's see. This one we also understand. This is one of the biggest methods that we learn from Moshe that we use all the time, as we know it, as zchus avos. One of our biggest bargaining chips in life is always we say, don't do it for us, do it for our forefathers. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, Zechar la'Avraham, remember Avraham. Li'Yitzchak, remember Yitzchak. V'li'Yisrael avadecha, and to Yaakov, your servant. Asher nishbata lahem, you have promised them, Boch, not anybody, but you yourself promised them. Vatidaber aleihem, and you spoke to them. And what did you say to them? Arba ezarachem, I will increase, I will multiply their children, kikoichvei hashamayim, like the stars in the heavens, v'chol ha'aretz hazois, and all of this land, asher amarti, that I said, eten lezarachem, that I will give it to your seed, v'nachalu la'olam, and they shall keep it as a possession forever. Very interesting pasuk. You see what Moshe is doing. He's, first of all, obviously he's reminding Hashem that Hashem promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so he has no choice. He can't destroy their children. But it's not such a good thing, because don't forget that Moshe is also one of the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Hashem said, I'll destroy and I'll make you into a great nation. So he's still keeping his promise, right? So we have to understand what's Moshe saying here. But more than that, it's very interesting. Moshe here is doing something fascinating. He's drawing on the past, the fact that Hashem had promised personally to the Avos that I will, you know, make you into a great nation and your seeds will be a great nation. But he's also very beautifully alluding to the future. The promise is not just that he's going to multiply the Jewish people, but he's going to give them the precious land, the land of Israel, which is interesting. What does that have to do with anything? So you can see here that to Moshe, the land of Israel, it doesn't matter, it's not a physical land. So to speak, the only way it exists is with the Jewish people. It goes hand in hand. Am Yisrael, in the land of Israel, with one Torah. It's all one thing, one God, right? One God, one land, one people. And without that, the land doesn't exist. This is your holy place in this world. So he's actually, you can see how he's telling Hashem, you can't destroy the Jewish people. They are part, so to speak, of the completion of the physical world. Without them, the world is incomplete. Let's see, Rashi here is very, very beautiful to understand how what he's saying, what Moshe Rabbeinu is really saying to Hashem. So he says, Zchor l'Avraham, first of all, what does it mean to remember Avraham? Why Avraham? Im avru al aseres hadibros. If the reason you're destroying the Jewish people is because they've transgressed the Ten Commandments, I'll tell you what, put it aside. Avraham avihem, because you know what Avraham, their father, did? Nisnasa ba'asara nisyonos. He was tested with 10 tests. Va'adayin lo kibel scharei, and he hasn't received his reward yet. So Moshe says, tinasein loy, give it to him, v'yetsu asara ba'asara, and let the 10 cancel out the 10. So even if they transgress these 10, they still have a tremendous merit. It's almost like extra credit in a test, you know, when a teacher gives and you say, give them the 10 marks, and the other 10 marks that they've gotten off, it doesn't matter, because you give them extra 10 because you owe it to them already, because of the 10 amazing things that Avraham did. And that should cancel out the 10 negative things that the Jewish people might have transgressed. That's Avraham's merit. And then Rashi gives us very, very specific. He goes through each of the avos. First of all, im l'sreifahim. If you have to burn them because they've served idols, so he says, zachar la'Avraham shemosar atzmai l'sareif alecha bor kazdim. Remember Avraham? He was ready to burn himself for you, as we know in the famous Medrash, right? They threw him into this big fire. Avraham was thrown in, actually. He didn't burn him miraculously, but he was ready to be burned for your sake. So if they're supposed to be burned, consider it as if Avram has already done it. Im lahariga, if you have to kill them, so to speak, hariga, hereg is, as you say, like with a sword. So he says, chor li Yitzchak, remember Yitzchak, shepashat savari la'akeda. He stretched out his neck. He was ready to be killed with the sword. Im legolus, if you have to exile them, schar li Yaakov. Remember what happened to Yaakov? He experienced golus. Shegala lecharan. For many years he was exiled from his parents' home. V'im eina nitzulim b'schusam. And if you say that all of those three isn't enough, and all the things that the Aves did isn't enough, so then Moshe says, what are you trying to do? You think you're going to make me instead of them? He says, Ma'ata Oimerli, what are you telling me? Ve'esha oischa l'goy gadol, I will make you into a great nation. So Moshe says, doesn't make sense. Im ki sei shel shalosh regalim einai oimed lefanecha b'shas kascha. If a chair of three legs will not stand in front of you when you are angry. In other words, if three legs are not sturdy enough for the Jewish people, kal v'chaymer l'kisei shel regalechas, how is a chair going to stand on one leg? In other words, what's going to happen to my grandchildren when they do something that displeases you and I'm going to be their only merit? They will have nothing to stand on. So Hashem Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, don't destroy them. It's not a good idea. In other words, rebuilding the nation through me is not going to give a longer term, you know, so to speak, if you want to say a long term ability to sustain, because it's only going to be my merit. How is that good enough? This Rashi is not 100% clear, because the truth is that Moshe himself comes from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And in a sense, the truth is that Moshe's children would have had an even sturdier chair, because they wouldn't just have a chair of three legs, they would have a chair of four legs. And a chair of four legs, we know, definitely stands. So some of the commentaries say that that's what Moshe is alluding to, because he's saying to Hashem, you know what? You want an eternal nation. As we just said before, you want an eternal land, you want an eternal Torah, you want an eternal nation. Well, if you want an eternal nation, then I stipulate that you keep this nation and I will allow myself to be the fourth leg. So there will be tremendous stability. And what this idea really is, and we'll see soon what Moshe Rabbeinu is uncovering, is that whatever the Jewish people did, whatever it appears that they did, it's only superficial. And if you peel away the layers, you'll see that inside, truly, truly, they love you and they're one with you. Why? And how do we know that for sure? Because of their tremendously, holy roots. And their roots, as we know in a tree, the roots are so strong that inside every Jew, they contain Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Moshe Rabbeinu, and we are always connected to Hashem. And that's really what Moshe is saying. Don't get rid of them. They're not worthy to be gotten rid of. They're a beautiful nation. Just uncover some of those layers. Then we go on and Moshe says, Asher nishbat lahem b'cha, that you, to whom you swore by your very self. So he says, lo nishbat lahem b'davar shukala, you didn't swear by something that's, so to speak, temporary. Lo b'shamayim, v'lo b'aretz, v'lo b'harim, v'lo b'gvais. You didn't say, I swear in the name of the heavens and the earth and the mountains, the hills. Ela b'ch, but you swore in your own name. Sh'ata kayam, and you exist forever. V'ushvuascha kayem es l'aylam, and therefore your promise exists forever. Sh'nem arbin nishbatinu Hashem, right, as it says, in the pasuk, by myself I have sworn, so says Hashem. And even to Yitzchak, v'aki ma'isi es hashvua, asher nishbati la'avram avicha, that I will keep the promise that I have made to Avram, which was a promise that Hashem said that I have made in my own name. And to Yaakov it says, anikel shakai, paro pru urvu, nishba loy bekel shakai. Right? We know that Hashem promised Yaakov with the name Kel Shakai, which means that it never stops. Kel Shakai Dai, it just has no end. Like we say, no end at all. There's never an ending. You promised in your name, and just like you promised in yourself, so to speak, it's almost like you use yourself as the object of the swearing. And as we just said, what is Moshe really saying to Hashem? It's one land, one nation, one Torah, one Hashem. The nation is as much eternal as all the other things are eternal. They all go together. The eternity of the Jewish people is the eternity of Hashem, is the eternity of the Torah, is the eternity of the Holy Land. And it's all one package, all eternal. So how can you even consider destroying them. This is all part of what Moshe is saying in these few short words. We're going to see a little bit more depth in a minute, but I just want to show you one more, how he like begs Hashem, and he says, not only now we see the result right away, does Moshe Rabbeinu's argument, does it sound good to Hashem? In other words, interesting also, it's not just does it sound good, but we can see that Moshe was very emotional, right? You can see it straight away. That's why it says Vayichal, right? He was so emotional. And it's like if somebody that comes to you to plead for something, if the person is extremely sincere and you see that what they're pleading for really, really, really matters to them, it moves you and you can almost not refuse them. And you see here, Vayinochem Hashem, and Hashem reconsidered, we'll just simply touch, Al Hara'a, on the bad, Asher Diber Lasa Isla'amai, that he had spoken to do to his nation. Some people say Vayinochem is like the word, Nachamu, that Hashem actually was comforted. Because if you can hear in some of the thing, even that Rashi alluded to, some of that message was very comforting for Hashem. Because as Moshe was saying, that the Jewish people, even though externally they might appear to reject you, Hashem, internally they never do, because they have such strong roots. And that was very comforting for Hashem. So he reconsiders, and now Moshe is going down. I'm going to just read two more psukim, and then we're going to go back into some of the commentaries. So Moshe Rabbeinu Vayifen. So this is, he's just pleaded, and Hashem reconsidered. So what all we know so far is that Hashem is not going to actually destroy the Jewish people. We don't know anymore. We don't know what kind of a relationship they're going to have, right? Is it going to be a repaired relationship, so to speak, or how repaired it will be? But we just know he's not going to annihilate them. So now Moshe has that in his mind, so to speak, in his heart, and he feels secure enough to leave Hashem. Vayifen, and he turns, Vayered, and he goes down, Moshe Minahar, from the mountain. Ushnei luchos ha'edus biyadai. Interesting, again, to keep in mind, he has just been told about what the Jewish people have done. But he's still descending the mountain with these two tablets, as we said at the beginning of the chapter, just at the end of the previous chapter, two tablets of testimony, luchos, as we say, ksuvim mishnei evreim, they were written from, inscribed from both of their sides, mizeh umizeh in ksuvim, from both on one side and on the other side they were inscribed. And Rashi tells us, what does this mean? Mishnei Evareim Hayu Ha'aisiyais Nikrais Umaisen Nisim Haya. The letters could be read from both sides, and this was miraculous because they're engraved. So really, there should only be one right side, and one would be upside down almost. But no, they, if you, whichever side you looked at, they looked correct, so to speak, because these luchos, although they were physical on one hand, on the other hand, they were totally miraculous. And he's carrying these luchos down. And just one more pasuk to describe the luchos, and we won't go into what he that will do next year, what he does with them. But in the meantime, he's still holding them. That's what we're going to keep today. Today, we're going to finish with holding. Let's see. V'haluchos ma'ase Elokim heima, and the luchos were the God's work. V'hamichtav michtav Elokim hu, and the inscription was God's inscription. Chorus al haluchos. Chorus is the term, as Rashi says, it was engraved in the luchos. And we say an interesting thing, engraved here doesn't just mean that it's like, how do you say, it's sort of like a little bit molded in, but it's actually engraved through and through. And that was also a very big miracle, because some of the letters, if you think of a samach, it has a middle piece, and it hung somehow, miraculously. It wasn't attached at all. The whole thing was such a miracle. That's what these luchos are. I wanted to read these psukim, because especially this week is Shavuos. And I just want to show you one thing before we go back. One beautiful thing about this pasuk, we said that they're charus al haluchos, they're engraved, right? The writing was godly writing engraved on the luchos. And many of the commentaries say, don't read it charus engraved, rather cheirus. Cheirus means freedom. What is freedom? Freedom is only when a person lives by the luchos, with the luchos, with the godly message, with the godly spirit. That's the only way that we are truly free. And we say that when Hashem gave us the Torah, which is what we are re-experiencing this week, today actually is an extremely special day, being Beis Sivan. This is the day after they arrived at the mountain, and Hashem actually tells the Jewish people that you will be for me, Mamlechas Kaihanim V'Goy Kadosh, a priestly nation, a holy nation that's called Yom HaMiyuchas. It's the day that we get our Yichus, so to speak. All of us, we become Hashem's nation. Today is an incredibly special day. Today is one of the, the second day, coming very, very close to the preparation for receiving these luchais, which will enable us to be truly free. Okay, well, maybe next time we'll discuss a little bit more about that. But let's go on now and see, understand Moshe Rabbeinu's discussion with Hashem. Okay, so we'll see some of the details and, I'll come back here. Okay, so I don't know. Think that we're going to do all the commentaries today. We'll do one or two, and we'll continue next time in Mirtz Hashem. Let's see, the Aruch Chaim analyzes what happened over here exactly. So I'm sorry, I hope you'll bear with me. I have the marker here. So this is the Aruch Chaim on Pasuk Zayin, and it says, Leich Reid, chapter 32, Perek Lamed Beis in Kisisa, verse 7, Pasuk Zayin, Aruch Chaim. Leich Reid, go, descend. So Aruch Chaim asks right away. Kefel loymar leichreid. First of all, it's double. What is Hashem telling Moshe? Go and descend. He should have just said descend. What's this go? Where's he going? Obviously, if he's descending, he's going. Achas l'gufay sheyelech, because one was to Moshe Rabbeinu physically, I need you to go. Achas loymar loy sheyereid megdulasai. And the second thing is actually a more spiritual idea. Go down from your greatness. V'im ha'ya'aymer reid levad, if it would just say descend alone, ha'inu aymerim ki li'yosai bahar amar lashon yirida, then we would just read it as a simple thing. Because he's on the mountain, he has to descend the mountain. But because it has the double, it shows us that things were happening on many, many layers here. And Moshe, it wasn't just the Jewish people that were experiencing a tremendous change. It was Moshe himself that was experiencing something unbelievable. That's why, perhaps you might say, Vayichal, Moshe felt sick. So let's see, what was he experiencing? So the Aruch Chaim says, V'tzorech ladas, b'oifen yirida zumahi. What kind of a descent is this? V'ulai shahaydiyai ki kol ma'alosai. Maybe Hashem was telling Moshe that all of his greatness, Haya Bishvil Yisrael, was really only on account of the Jewish people. Ume'ata shechatu, and now that they have sinned, lo yosig hanavua kimech zaharishayim, he will not be able to grasp, he will not reach this level of prophecy as he had at the beginning, the tremendous revelation of godliness. He will never have that same revelation. Or another thing, where he was standing, all of a sudden, he had no more strength to stand there. Because they, his assistants, which means at this point you might say the Jewish people, had stumbled. And that's what told him, go down. Perush, loy samay b'mokem harishon, you will not stand in the first place. What does that mean in the first place? V'hatam kishiches amcha shemikoicham basa. You can't stand where you are now. That means spiritually. You can't stand here and have this tremendous revelation because the nation in whose strength you were standing, who was really holding you up, they have sinned. And now they're not holding you up anymore. V'kasha im kain. So now comes the big question, if that's the case, and this is an interesting question in the whole order of the story. Hayalai laymar kain me'esha amru Yisrael eila elekecha. If Moshe is weakened and has to leave now and can't stand there on the mountain in this tremendous, glorious, spiritual place because the Jewish people have sinned, what's taking so long? It should have happened immediately as soon as they started sinning. As soon as they said, this is my God, or as soon as they requested the Egel, that's when Moshe should have felt weak. That's when he should have been banished from the heavenly spheres. And yet we see that it wasn't until after they made the egel and they sacrificed and they made big statements and they celebrated, only then did Hashem send Moshe down. And if you might say, because until that, okay, they actually served idols, so to speak, by the end, you know, and that's when he has to go down. Until that point, until the point that they actually served, maybe Moshe could stay up there. He says, okay, so maybe, let's see, keep that for a minute, because then the Aruch Chaim has another very interesting point. Arachaim has a very fascinating second question. First question, why was Moshe able to stand there so long until after they did so many things, so many steps in the terrible process, and only then does Hashem send him down? Next question, why does Hashem spell out to Moshe Rabbeinu exactly what the Jewish people have done? Why shouldn't he? Because we have a story later on in the Navi, a very interesting story. During the time of Yehoshua, they had had a very tremendously successful war, and Hashem had said, you should not take any spoils. There was one man, Achan, and he took spoils from the war. And Hashem blamed the Jewish people, whatever it was, and Hashem said to Yehoshua that something terrible has happened in the nation. And Yehoshua asked Hashem, who sinned? And Hashem said to him, you want me to say Lashon Hara? You want me to tell you exactly who sinned? Why do you think I'm going to tell you? I'm going to specify? And so we have an interesting question. If in the time of Yehoshua, Hashem doesn't specify who sinned, why over here is Hashem going in through such gory detail and telling Moshe such terrible things about the nation? It's like we use the language Dal Toiris. Dal Toiris is real Lashon Hara. It's real gossip. As he says, this shouldn't be, and especially from Hashem. He says, and so you might say it's different because Moshe's anyways going to see it. It's not a hidden thing, right? He's going to see it when he goes down. But still, im kol ze be'erech mokar hachasidus v'taris haloshen. Nevertheless, when you're talking about the greatness, we're talking about Hashem himself, right? The source of all kindness and the purest of tongues, so to speak, if you want to say kivyachol by Hashem. Kesef nifchar loshen sadik lo yagid kedvarim ha'ela. Hashem wouldn't speak like this. Why does Hashem specify to Moshe in detail all the terrible things that the Jewish people have done? And here we say the Aruch Chaim answers both questions together. For sure, God forbid, we can't say that Hashem was speaking Lashon Hara and he was telling negative things, and that's why he's saying this to Moshe. Al oisa aval ba'aleikim. Ella letzedek dinai had, sorry, letzadek dinai had tzedek. He was just justifying what he's about to do to Moshe. Because he's telling Moshe, I'm going to destroy your nation. He can't just say, I'm going to destroy your nation, unless he tells him, why am I destroying the nation? But why does he have to go through all the details? Because that's why I'm destroying your nation. Because of the details. So what's the details? For who ki letzad sha'amra l'moshe reid migdulascha, right? He said to Moshe, go down from your greatness. Hutzrach leimer al ma huka beis me'avai. Why? What have my beloved nation done that they deserve to be destroyed? And because of that, you have to descend. Ma pishay ki yiridena eleka. What is their sin that makes them, so to speak, that even their master has to go down? V'lazeh amar ki shicheis amcha. So now we get to the specifics. What have they done? Your nation has become corrupt. And he has to tell them exactly how they've been corrupted. And because of that, Moshe has to go down. So very specifically, what did they do? What was so terrible that they needed to be annihilated? And what was so terrible that that's because of that Moshe has to go down? And because of this is why Moshe goes down now. So how does Aruch Chaim answer? He says like this. There's three parts. First of all, they made the egel, asulahem, right? They actually formed it. Second thing, vayishtachavulay, they bowed down to it and they sacrificed to it. The third thing, vayomru, and they said, this is our God, your God. And that means They did a sin corresponding to dibur, machshava, umayse. Speech, thought, and action. So let's see. First of all, hischil b'machshava, because they started in their thoughts. It says that they made for themselves a god, right? In their minds, they're considering it a god. That's the sin in thought. Hare machshava, me'eis sheyasu choshvu ka'avaydazara, as they're thinking and planning it, it's a concept of thoughts of avaydazara. V'hu mashadi dayek ba'imra lahem, that's why it says for them. Okay, so then another thing. Then, as he says, lo yelach aleikim acherim, right? You shouldn't have any other gods. Okay, first thing in their thought process. They're thinking about, they want another god, and they have this whole plan. That's already contamination of the thoughts. Keneget hamaisa, what corresponds to action? Vayishtachavu loy, they bow down to it. Vayizbuchu, and they sacrificed. Ein lucha maisa gadol mizeh, there's no greater action than this. And what about the worse, in other words, that corruption of action? And speech? Amar vayomru eila elekecha. They said, these are your gods, right? That's what they remember. They made this big statement. This is your god. So they actually verbalized. So now Hashem says to Moshe, well, Moshe, actually, Hashem doesn't even have to say it. Moshe feels it. It says, uletzadze toshash kayach Moshe. Now Moshe's strength becomes very weakened in three begimel bechinos shei nefesh ruach neshama, the three levels of his soul corresponding to machshava, dibor, and maaseh, thought, speech, and action. V'lo yuchal amud b'madrega rishayne, he couldn't stand on his first level. Umi maitzei davar ati yodeya ki koydem she'avru yisrol al gimel protin. Interesting. Until they did all three aspects, until they contaminated with all three, Moshe still had one leg to stand on, one part of himself that was healthy, so to speak. Because if you say, correspond the thought to the thought, speech to the speech of Moshe, because Moshe, as we say, he is really the soul of the Jewish people. So each thing, but once they did all three, Moshe was finished. That's when he felt finished. And that's when Hashem says to Moshe, you can't be here anymore. Go down. Leave me down, so to speak. Physically, spiritually, they're finished, so to speak. They've contaminated all three. And that's why it took so long, so to speak, until Moshe had to leave, until they finally actually celebrated and were singing and dancing and bringing all the sacrifices. Up until that point, Moshe was still able to stay up on the mountain. And that's why also it says why Hashem wasn't talking Lashon Hara. He had to spell out for Moshe. Uh-oh, this is really bad news. Part of the spelling out is, as we'll see, this leads to really pushing, encouraging Moshe to be able to daven for the Jewish people, because he realizes how, so to speak, deep-rooted, if you want to say, what they did was. And this makes Moshe, so in a way it makes him sick, like even sicker and weaker, but in a way it prompts him and it literally gives him the tremendous push. He felt such a, he was gasping for air, so to speak. He has to daven for the survival of the Jewish people. Another thing, also interesting thing, it says soru maher min aderech, that the Jewish people, it's interesting on the flip side of it, quickly they turned away from the way. What does that mean? So Hashem is really saying, ki li Yisrael oidam be'amunas Hashem, really they still have faith, so to speak. Ela choshvu liyais lefneyem kas echad mikel elyon, they just wanted an intermediary. So that's what Hashem is saying, soru min haderech asher tzivisam, they have turned away from the way that I commanded them, which means just only one thing. I commanded them not to have intermediaries, and they made intermediaries. And because of that, you have to go down. But the truth is, they still, deep inside, believe in one God. So in, as we see, it's lots of layers. Even in Hashem's, so to speak, anger, if you want to say, he's even giving Moshe the message, daven, there's hope, even though he's saying, I'm going to annihilate them. And Moshe, in his weakness, also finds a way of pleading for the Jewish people, which we will see in Mirtz Hashem in our next year in much, much more depth. Just want to tell you quickly about the Kshei Oyref. It says, interesting that we said that the Jewish people were a stubborn nation. And the word in Hebrew for stubborn, we always say, is Kshei Oyref, which actually means a stiffness, literally stiff-necked. What's the idea of a stiff neck? So it's a very beautiful, it's very, very graphic, if you want to say. Torah, the language is very exact. The idea of a stiff neck is, as the Eben Ezra plays out, you can imagine it. He says, like a mashal la'adam haylech ledarkai b'merutza. It's like somebody who's going very quickly on his way, v'lo yoshiv ayref l'kraye lov, and he doesn't turn around to somebody who's calling him. Somebody's calling his name, and he just keeps running. V'zeh ha-mashal ba'avur shehoy Yisrael ba'eretz Mitzrayim ayvli avay dezara. In Egypt, they had been serving idols. Hashem shalach lehem neviim, and because of that, Hashem knew they needed guidance. Hashem sent prophets, leimar ish gelulei Mitzrayim yishlichu, that to tell them to throw away their idols. But they insisted on keeping on running in the direction they were going and didn't turn around to listen to the prophets. That's why we say a stiff-necked nation. Another way to put it is a similar, I think, that the Sfarnu says. It's like they have this, it's like their neck becomes hard as iron, if you want to say. So in other words, it almost is like when a person has a stiff neck and they can't turn around. You know, the neck doesn't move, so to speak. It's so stiff. It hurts them to turn. What does that mean? They don't turn around to hear the words, the tremendous words, the tremendous guidance from Hashem. And therefore, unfortunately, the Sfarnu says, ba'ayfen she'ein tikva she'yashuvu b'tshuva. It's almost as if they have no hope to do tshuva. Because if you're not going to listen, the first step is you have to listen. And if your neck is so stiff like iron, where it's, so to speak, almost paved in and it can't even turn, it can't see another perspective, how are they going to do tshuva? And that's what Hashem is telling Moshe. Interesting. In other words, it's not going to be easy, okay? That you have a very hard task ahead of you. You have a phenomenal nation, but they are stiff-necked. And as we've mentioned, very interestingly, part of the reason that we are an Am Kshei Ayuref is because we need to be. Because throughout history, if we weren't a stiff-necked nation, we wouldn't be here anymore. We have to be. Because the truth is, we should be able to turn around and listen to the prophets and to the guides and everything. But we shouldn't turn around and listen to the popular way of what's happening in the world, of what everybody else is doing. That's where we are meant to remain a stiff-necked nation. As well as keeping ourselves focused on our goal, focused on the fact, as we keep on saying, that we have one Hashem, and we have one Torah, and we are one people, and we have one land. And we are, so to speak, a stiff-necked nation, meaning in a good way, that we can focus on one thing, on the underlying, so to speak, thing that's underneath everything. And this, in truth, is what we say this week, was what we're doing. We're accepting the Torah. The Torah being, as we said before, the thing that provides us with the most tremendous freedom. And I'm going to finish just a few minutes early today. I hope you don't mind. We're going to continue, I think, in 2 weeks' time. I don't think we're going to have a shiur next Monday. We'll keep you posted about that. But Amir Tzashem, in 2 weeks' time, we will. And we will continue to analyze. Just want to wish everybody Kabbalah Satayra, Besimcha, Bepnimius, that we should all accept the Torah with joy in an inner, deep way. This might have been just one small thing, that a nice inspirational one that I could share. And, okay. Just 1 second. Okay, so in Mirtz Hashem, in 2 weeks' time, we'll do these other very, very, very beautiful ideas. So have a very good week in the